is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. This March, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are offering $2,000 off the Dr. Dish All-Star, Rebel, and CT Plus. And don't forget their Anything Is Possible giveaway, too. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details.
Hi, this is Travis Schwab, head men's basketball coach at Muskingum University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. We are a day late and a dollar short. But
we had some good reasons though, Mike.
We had some things going on. So Jason had some basketball games to take care of, and I was involved in
some refereeing
for the Harlem Wizards. My son Cal was doing an event along with my wife. I give her a ton of credit for it, but we put on a Harlem Wizards show at our high school.
Who won, Mike? We
ended up the Wizards won, but we ended up having over 1,000 people that came to the game and raised a ton of money for charity, and it was just a really good and fun community night.
So shout people. Out! How did the Strongsville gym hold that many people, Mike?
It was pretty full. It's about as full. Well, the home side was completely packed, and the visitor side probably was, I would guess, 2/3 full. So
that's pretty impressive. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that the stadium would fit 1,000.
I want to say it holds like 1,300, maybe is what I want to say, somewhere in there. So I think we ended up ticket sales wise just over 1,000 by the time there was like 820 pre-sale, and then we had whatever another 200 people come in the day of. So it was crazy.
That's pretty crazy, man. Congrats to Cal and your wife. And I don't know. Did you feel like Scott Foster at any point during the game, Mike?
I did not. I did make a couple calls. I think I made more calls in this game than the last time I ref the Wizards game, which was like 5 years ago when the athletic department put the game on. I had to make a couple of out of bounds calls. So
yeah,
that's the way it went. I was not involved in any of the real hijinks. So
there was no hijinks. They didn't.
Last year I had to. Last time I had to. I was involved in a skit. I had to pull a guy up, and I forget exactly what I had to do, but I was definitely involved. This time I was not involved in any skits. So
I saw the Macho Man Randy Savage was at the game.
Randy was there.
Randy was there. He was front and center, baby.
I gave Randy a hug when he came up and talked to me. So shout out to Randy. If he's listening to the podcast. Randy from our camp. Randy's in what, third grade now?
He's in third grade. He went to preschool with Will. So yeah. He's
right, there
in
third grade. Third grade.
So there you go.
Good
kid.
Shout out Randy.
All right, Mike. So we got a lot to talk about. I don't even know what direction we're going to take it to begin with, but I'm going to go with our win shares to start.
Okay.
And the win shares that I picked for this today are the Detroit Pistons.
All right. I'm not sure why you picked the Pistons today.
I had it queued up for yesterday, and the Cavs have played the Pistons, and we've already done the Celtics. So that's why I went with the Pistons. And we've already done the Heat too, so
fair enough.
That's why I queued up the Pistons.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna start with Isaiah Thomas.
He's number four.
Number four. Oh, man. Isaiah's number... Dave Bing.
Dave Bing is number 11.
11. All right. Chauncey Billups.
He's number 5.
Richard Hamilton.
He's number 12.
12. Bill Laimbeer.
Number 1.
Number 1.
Number 1, baby.
Wow. Holy cow. Joe Dumars.
Number 3.
So I have 1, 3, 4, and 5.
And 11 and 12. Give yourself a little bit credit.
Isaiah was 4?
Yep.
Wow, that's hard to believe. Okay, so I need number 2.
Number 2.
All right, don't give me any clues yet.
Oh, I don't know. How, okay.
you don't know if I'm going to possibly get this, is what you're saying?
No, this person I've heard of before. I've heard of this person before.
Okay, so I'm assuming this is a serious old-timer.
Yeah. I would say serious
predates Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys. Oh,
for sure.
Zelmo Beatty.
Well, that guy is not on the list, Mike.
Okay. I don't even know if he plays for the Pistons. Trying to think.
He played for Detroit all the way through. And then the last few years of his career, he was in Milwaukee. Do you want his position?
Or is that just no? I gotta think. Bob Lanier.
That's number. There he is. Got it.
All right.
So you want to try to get anyone else that's in the top 12, Mike? I'm gonna tell you
how many more guys from the Bad Boys era?
None. Well, I don't know. Hold on. Let me see this one guy. I don't know what his. I don't know this guy. Hold on. Let me see.
Rick Mahorn.
No.
Dennis Rodman.
Okay, no one else from the Bad Boy era.
Anyone else from the Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups?
Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace is 6.
Okay, wow, 6. All right. Rashid wasn't there long enough, I wouldn't think. Who am I missing from Tayshaun Prince?
He is number 9.
Okay.
The one guy's still in the league, Mike.
One guy is still in the league.
He was on the Cavs at one point. You would not believe this guy.
Was on the Cavs from Detroit.
He was on the Cavs after LeBron left. The second time.
After LeBron left the second time. Andre Drummond.
There you go. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 8 on the list. Guy currently, next guy, currently a broadcaster. Got injured. Would have been a great play. Would have been like, There you go. 9. The next guy played in 51-52. His nicknames were Long and the Big One.
I got nothing.
Larry Faust.
Yeah, never heard of Larry.
He played, and he was part of. It wasn't Detroit at the time; it was Fort Worth.
Yeah, no Rodman on that list. No Larry Rodman. Faust.
No Rodman on that list, okay. But Larry Faust.
All right, well, I didn't do too bad. I got 4 out of the 5 without any help at all.
And I mean, yeah, my help was limited, though, Mike. So,
can I ask you why Bob Lanier was so famous? Do you know why?
I don't know, Mike. Why?
Size of his feet.
Oh, yeah?
He was known for having whatever size 20 shoes back in the day. That's why Bob Lanier was a great player, but he was known for having huge feet.
Oh, breaking news, Mike.
All right.
It's your birthday.
It is. 3 minutes ago. Happy birthday.
That's your breaking news. I had that queued up ready. I was waiting. Mike, do you want to share with the listeners how old you are now?
Sure. Why not? 53.
Look at you.
It's crazy that I don't think, I'm sure many people can relate to this, but I will never, the number next to my name will never associate, it just doesn't, that does not feel That does not feel right. A newspaper account of Mike Klintzing, 53 years old, would never compute. I would read that and be like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
So, especially with your sleep schedule, they probably wouldn't think that you're a 53-year-old man.
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, it's funny the number of people just with the podcast that will respond when I send out a calendar invite or when we send them the scheduling calendar, and they'll see on there it's 10 p.m. They'll be like, 10 p.m., it's past my bedtime. I'm like, sometimes we still have like six podcasts to do after 10 p.m. So, you know, it's all relative.
It's all relative.
It's all relative to what you do.
Or when you look at a clock and it says 1:07, and the next thing you know, it's 1:37. If you catch my drift, Mike.
That is true. You may drift off. You never know. You may drift off sitting in front of your computer. It can definitely happen. It's happened to me before many times.
Recently, many perhaps.
So we're going to start first with the Cavs tonight. The Cavs obviously pulled out the victory against Miami. Although I was really worried at the beginning of the game, Mike. I don't know if you saw the beginning. Did you watch the beginning?
I did not see the very beginning.
Kevin Love had three straight baskets to start the game. And I was like, oh, no. Here we go. They're just going to feed him the ball. And he drew two charges in the first half that I know of. I don't know if it ended up drawing anymore. But anyways, Cavs walked away with the victory. We thought they were going to lose. They ended up winning. They won the game the other night against Boston. That shouldn't have been as close as it was. But once again, a W is a W. They beat Detroit. So they've won three in a row now, Mike. And honestly, like the first game again, I felt better about the first game against Boston than I did about the win. Would you agree with that statement?
I mean, I texted you, I said that was a garbage win when Boston has three of their starters out and you got to go to overtime at home to beat them. And yet at the same time, clearly it's better to put that one in the win column than it is the loss column. And I guess I always look at it as if you win a game that's either against a good team or you kind of pull one out that maybe you shouldn't have won, can you sort of consolidate that win by winning your next one? In other words, if they'd have pulled out that Boston game and then you turn around and lose to Miami, not really what you're looking for. So the fact that they were able to kind of double down and beat Miami tonight made that Boston win, I think, even more important. And it put the Cavs 2.5 games up on the Knicks after the Knicks lost just an atrocious game at home to the Hornets last night after winning 9 in a row. A terrible loss for New York because they're about to go on a 5-game West Coast swing. So I would think that this means the Cavs are going to have to collapse pretty seriously, I think, to fall out of the number 4 spot at this point based on what the Knicks schedule looks like and what the Cavs schedule looks like moving forward. That's a big win tonight.
Yep. Okay, so on that note, let's just talk really quickly. Predict the Cavs' weekly outcomes. I don't think this is going to... We play again. We play Miami on Friday. We got this weird schedule situation going on right now. So on Friday, we play Miami. I'm going to put that in the loss column, Mike. I feel like they're going to party in South Beach the next 2 days. And something's... hopefully not like Ja, but they're going to party in South Beach. And we're going to lose. We're going to lose on Friday. That's my prediction. What do you think? Am I wrong?
I think going into it, we probably would have said you're going to win one, lose one in Miami. I think that your theory of being in Miami for 2 days and then playing on Friday, it seems like if I had to predict before both of these games were played, I certainly would have thought it was more likely they win the first one and lose the second one. So I'm going to go ahead. I think I'll probably agree with you. I think that's one that Miami bounces back and tries.
And listen, they're going to try to get it all out of their system too, Mike, because the Cavs, because they then have to spend the next 3 nights in Charlotte. And I don't know what you do in Charlotte if you're a Cleveland Cavalier player.
I'm sure there's something to do.
Yeah. And those two games, those are two victories. If we don't win the Charlotte games, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, you got to win those two. I agree.
So I'm saying we're going 2-1 and before our next podcast.
Okay. That's good.
Sounds good.
All right. I like it. I'd like to go 3-0 heading into that Philly game. That'd give us six wins in a row going into Philly next Wednesday.
Yeah.
But it remains to be seen.
Yeah. And let's see. Who do the Knicks play the next few games, Mike? The Knicks play at Sacramento, the number 2 seed.
Well, they're all, I mean, they're on the West Coast. So even if you look at theoretically, like their games aren't terribly difficult. And then I don't know when Brunson's going to be back, but if they're on this road trip without Brunson,
will they go Sacramento, the Clippers, the Lakers,
Portland, and Denver. So five teams that are all.
Dude, they could easily go 0-5.
They could.
They could go 1-4. They could. I mean.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I think that that particular stretch for the Knicks, that's why that Charlotte loss was so bad heading into this thing, heading into this road trip. And especially if Brunson's not healthy, I don't see how they catch the Cavs based on what the Cavs schedule looks like and based on this West Coast trip. I just don't see it. Now, they do have, I don't know if I would say relatively easy, but just like the Cavs, they have in their last, whatever, eight games, they have Orlando, Houston, the Wizards, the Pacers twice, and the Zion-less Pelicans. So they have a lot of, they have some wins.
Are you saying Zion's not coming back, Mike? Are you giving up on the dream?
I think the dream for this year is dead. The dream is dead. He's not adding to his game total this year.
Oh, man.
He's going to be rehabbing that hamstring all summer long, baby. He's going to come in next year.
Hopefully not on the buffet lines.
Tip top shape. Come next October, sure. Man. He's going to be ready to go for half a season. He'll be ready to go for half a season. If he can get half, he gets, like I said, he gets half a season in for the next 5 years, man. I'm going to collect on that bet.
Yeah. You keep that pipe dream going, buddy.
That dinner. What did we bet a dinner? I don't even remember.
I think we bet a pizza on it.
Pizza. All right. Well, that pizza is going to be delicious in 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. 10
years. He's got to average 12 games a season for the next 10 years, and we'll get there. Come on, Zion. You can do it.
You can do it. All right. I guess let's move from that draft pick to the number 2 draft pick that year.
Wait, are we done with the Cavs?
I mean, what else do you want to say about the Cavs? I mean, Mobley's playing good.
Mobley's been really good.
He had a great defensive play at the end of the game tonight. Blocked Jimmy Butler's little floater in the lane. Was good. He's looked good offensively. Much better. He's taking control. I will say I complained to you about this in between our two interview pods about JB's, like, rotations. Evan Mobley had a great stretch in the third quarter where he scored like 6 or 8 straight points. And then, because he had 5 points and then he was all of a sudden, no, I think it was 7 because he had a free throw. So he went from 5 points to 12 in the matter of like a 2 or 3 minute stretch. And then JB sat him. And I think he played the whole third quarter, but he sat him until the 5 minute mark in the fourth quarter. And the game was still in flux. Like, you got to fix your rotations, in my opinion. He's got to fix that. Like, he can't be sitting for that long in the fourth quarter, especially with his defensive ability and his ability to score if they need him to and, like, attack the rim. Because we surely weren't doing that. And I think that was mismanagement on my end, or on JB's end tonight, in my opinion.
I think he's just searching for answers. I mean, and I'm not sure that there is any after you get past our top four guys. I just don't know. Night to night, you just have no idea what anybody off that bench or that fifth starter, you have no idea what they're going to give you. And I think he's just kind of searching for combinations and searching for guys that can give him something on any night. Because if they can get one more guy to be functional, they're pretty hard to beat. And if you get two guys that give them something off the bench, they become really difficult to beat. Because the nice part is with Mobley's development, look, I don't want to say I was down on him in the first third of the season, but I definitely felt like he hadn't really – I saw a lot of the same mistakes and a lot of the same deficiencies in the first third of the season that we saw last year for him as a rookie. And I feel like he's taken away – some of those deficiencies. Like, he's much stronger with the ball. He's now taking and making face-up jumpers from 15 to 17 feet. He's still shooting like 20% from three, but he's taken more, which I think is the first step. And he has good form, and I think he's going to get there eventually. Defensively, he's just such a menace. I mean, he's everywhere. He comes out of comes out of places that you just don't expect him to get to block shots from behind, from 10 feet away closing out. He just is everywhere, and he moves his feet so well. And I think that we talked about his ceiling. Could he be a top five player in the league? And it seemed like at the beginning of the season, a lot of people were down on that possibility. I still think that possibility exists because he's going to be, if he's not already, he's going to be one of the three best defensive players in the league for whatever the 7-8 years of his prime. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And then offensively, he just, every game, he just keeps showing more and more things that he's capable of doing. And he's such a good passer that, man, I still think he's a potential top five player sometime in the next 3 or 4 years because he just has all the tools. And the fact that he's just a two-way wrecking machine on defense. Look, he might not get there this year, but I think what he's going to do at some point, and he might even do it in the playoffs this year. He might even be a guy that if you get the right matchup where all of a sudden you're looking up and at the end of the series, Mobley averaged 22 and 12. I could see it. I mean, I really could see it. Yeah. It's the right matchup. He's that good. He's that good. And Mitchell and Garland are undersized, but both of those guys are tough as nails, and they both can create shots and get you something out of nothing. So I like where this team is. I wonder about how they're going to build the back end of the roster, but that's a question for the offseason, not for now, because we are what we are. So I hope they can keep that fourth spot. Who knows? Maybe if Philly hits a cold streak, maybe you get up to three. But either way, if you have home court, I think you got to be satisfied. If you have home court, then that means you should win your first round series. Now you're into the second round, and then who knows? Who knows? Yeah. So yeah. I like where we're sitting right now. I didn't like it so much 3 games ago, but I like where we're sitting now because, again, the Knicks going on the road and the fact that we were able to beat Boston and Miami back-to-back, those are two big wins, two big wins.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's out subtweeting people right now. This is awesome. Is
he? Who's he subtweeting?
Josh Hart. Josh Hart wrote, "What's a good golf simulator to have at the house?" And Donovan Mitchell tweeted, "Instead of tweeting all these damn questions, why don't you Google it?"
Oh, nice. There you go.
With a bunch of crying emojis.
Nice. All right.
There you go.
Donovan getting after it. Getting after it on social media.
Yeah.
Good work.
Good work, Donovan. Anyways, all right. So we're done with the Cavs now, yeah? Cavs done?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Ja.
All right.
What did I title this? What you doing, Ja? This is the most bizarre chain of events I've ever seen in my life. We have him supposedly having his mom call a Foot Locker or something and complain about his shoes and threatened with a boy, one of his boys threatened a guy, to then being called out on it or supposedly assaulting a teenager, right?
Punched him in the head 12 or 13 times supposedly, but after the teenager threw the ball at him or hit him or something or said he was going to light this place up. Again, playing pickup basketball at Ja Morant's house.
Yeah, okay. So there's that. Then he goes to the nightclub and goes on Instagram Live and has a video where he's clearly holding a gun.
I mean, and you forgot the Shannon Sharp.
Oh.
And you also forgot the laser pointer at the Pacers staffers after that game.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I forgot about series of events. I forgot about all that stuff. And then he goes to the club and has this gun, but the police have declined to file charges because there's lack of evidence that there was an actual gun. Apparently video is not evidence, but I'm not going to get into the mind of the police officers. But video apparently is not enough to do it. They did announce, Mike, that he will be away from the team for at least 4 more games.
Not surprising. I don't know if you listened at all to, I think it was on Winhurst podcast, that Mark Spears said that he's speculating, or he believes that he's done for the season, that he's not going to be back. So I don't know what that means, where he's getting his information from or who he's talking to, but he did say that he thinks that he will not be back. I think your comment of the turn of events, I don't know that there has been ever in the history of sports somebody who has gone from kind of being a darling who everybody loved to just a guy who you're like, man, who is this guy? Like, is he anything like what we thought
Kyrie Irving
that he was? Maybe, maybe, but it's just, you go back 8 months ago and I mean, Ja's the guy who I think the league is kind of trying to promote as the American face of the game of basketball. And he just gets his signature shoe with Nike. The Grizzlies are kind of this lovable up-and-coming team. Now, we probably have to go back further than 8 months because last year kind of talking smack in the playoffs with the Warriors and whatever. But it's just, I think Ja's image, at least in my mind, and maybe it's a figment of my imagination, but if I go back a year ago, I don't know that there was any more popular player in the league, and I don't know that there was any player that the league was, rightfully so, wanting to put up there as the face of the league. And now, I mean, you can take any one of these incidents probably and break it down and figure out that maybe it's not that big a deal, each one of them. But when you start putting them all together, the common denominator is Ja's involved in all of them in some way, shape, or form. And so at a certain point, it has to be, it's not like you're in the wrong place, the wrong time. It's like you are the common denominator. And the bottom line is Ja's a 23-year-old guy, and you hope that this is not something that's indicative of the direction that he and his career are headed, that hopefully whatever is going on, that he's able to get it under control and he's able to make a decision and turn things back in the right direction. Because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does things that they regret, but this is a kind of a pattern. And if you're holding the gun up and you're filming yourself, it's not like somebody else was filming him. I mean, he filmed it himself and was posting it himself. And it seems like a pretty odd choice to make. You just look, the guy's a spectacular talent, and you don't want to see anybody throw that talent away. And you don't want to see, look, you don't want to see anybody get harmed, Ja, anybody that's with him. But when you start bringing guns into nightclubs, things can go bad in a lot of different ways really, really fast. And it doesn't seem like Ja and the people around him have made the greatest decisions about what they're doing. And so when you start throwing guns into that mix, things can get pretty dicey for everybody really, really fast. And so you just hope that whatever this is, whether it's a voluntary leave of absence, whether it's a suspension, whether it's whatever you want to call it, you hope that this time away helps to refocus Ja and the people that are close to him back to what's important. And first and foremost, who he is as a person and how, who he's developing into. And then secondly, who he is as a player and how important he is to the Memphis Grizzlies and just to the NBA in general. So obviously it's a sad story. It's a story that nobody likes talking about because you hate to see a guy sort of fall off the wagon the way Ja has. It's just, it's stunning to me where we were sitting a year ago in terms of public opinion on Ja Morant versus where we're sitting today. I don't know that there's really been that same kind of turnaround. I mean, you mentioned Kyrie. I'm trying to think of anybody else who might have had this turn where they went from somebody that everybody thought, oh, this guy is, I mean, you could maybe point to Kobe, right, with the Colorado situation.
What about Ron Artest?
Artest was already kind of looked at as being, I mean, Ja was like, I would say as wholesome as you could possibly get is sort of the, I think the image that I had of him at least a year ago. I don't think Ron Artest didn't have the same, he was already looked at as being a little bit of a crazy person before the Malice in the Palace, but certainly whatever shred of normalcy he had was stripped away from that during that incident. I feel like I had another guy right on the tip of my brain that I was going to share a minute ago. Maybe it'll come back to me, but it just, I can't remember a guy that went from somebody that everybody kind of admired and looked up to all of a sudden, boom, he's going in a completely different direction. I guess Kyrie to a certain extent, but I don't know. It's a sad story, and you hope for mostly for Ja's sake, number one, but then for, you know, his family's sake and the NBA and the Grizzlies that he gets this thing straightened out and gets whatever help he needs and realizes kind of what's at stake here.
Yep. Did you see the breaking news that came out about Sean Kemp, Mike?
No.
Sean Kemp has been arrested and booked in an alleged drive-by shooting.
Are you serious? Oh, man,
At 1:58 p.m., an altercation between two occupants of two cars led to shots being fired at a parking lot in Tacoma, Washington. No injuries reported. A gun was recovered. A 53-year-old male was booked for drive-by shooting. The investigation is ongoing.
I see the article here. Look, I don't even know what to say to that other than the fact that when I think about Sean Kemp, he graduated from high school the same year as I did. Just a spectacular talent, and all you got to do is go back and watch some of his Seattle highlight reels, and you want to talk best in-game dunkers in the history of the game, Sean Kemp is right there. And we know he's had his off-the-field problems before, and I don't really want to go into all of those things, but you just hope that whatever is going on here, that maybe it's not true, maybe it's unsubstantiated, who knows, but again, if he is involved in that kind of stuff, let's hope he gets the help that he needs to be able to not injure himself or anybody else. It's sad.
Yeah, I hear you. I just saw that and thought I'd share it with you, Mike. Also, I guess Luka in the Dallas game tonight, he got hurt, Mike.
Hurt, like seriously hurt?
Woj tweeted that he will be getting an MRI tomorrow. Luka Doncic said the plan is to get an MRI tomorrow on his left thigh strain. Asked immediately after the game how he was feeling, he said not good. Seemingly was favoring the left leg slightly as he walked in for media. Said everyone will know more tomorrow after he gets the imaging done.
I'll just echo Luca. It's not good. When you have a muscle injury like that, those things take a long time to heal, and you're never quite sure when they're healed. And so obviously athletes have a tendency to want to get back sooner rather than later. And that's when you can re-aggravate that type of muscle injury. So can't be good news for Dallas, although I think that what we're seeing here with the Mavericks is that they are, if anybody thought they were a contender, they're clearly, I don't think in any way, shape or form contenders. I don't even know if they have really any chance to win a first round series. I'm not sure who they're beating that's ahead of them. So
yeah, I agree.
And we haven't even had the Kyrie incident yet. So, which is coming at some point, I got to believe.
Yep. Speaking of, okay, so then I guess the other team we have to talk about is...
Well, can we double back to the Grizzlies quick? Because not only did you have that Ja situation, but you also had Brandon Clark tear his Achilles. which is a devastating injury, obviously, for him. But, I mean, that's huge for the Grizzlies. He was a key component to when they played small. He was a good fit playing with Steven Adams, or if they wanted to put him at center and go small. I mean, at this point, you got to look at Memphis and say, they're probably going to stay in the top six, barring, I mean, I guess they've had a complete catastrophe, so maybe saying that isn't the right way to phrase it, but they're still 5.5 games out of the play-in. I got to believe they're going to be able to hang on and at least stay in the top six, but there's going to be a lot of jockeying, I think, in the Western Conference playoffs to try.
So how far will Memphis fall, Mike? Let's play this game.
Okay.
Let's play this game right now.
Well, I mean, last year you have to say they were, what, weren't they like 20-5 or something without Ja? So it's not like they haven't done it.
Yeah, before. Except they're already lost 3 in a row without Ja.
Right, I get it. I'm not saying they're going to continue to play well. Phoenix is going to pass them.
Even without Durant, who may be injured for a time period now. He slipped during warm-ups and hurt his left ankle.
Did you watch the video? I mean, I saw there was video. I didn't watch it because we were recording our other podcast tonight.
No, I did not watch it. Let's see if I can find it. Durant fall.
It's right. I mean, it's right on the homepage of ESPN, I think.
I'm on Twitter.
I'm going to look at my
phone. Oh, yeah. There must have been... Someone must have fallen there or something.
Yeah, I have no idea. But anyway, I guess.
Did you watch the video? Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I'm trying to find it now.
Here, I'll send it to you on Twitter, Mike.
All right. It was on the homepage. All right. I'm looking at it now.
That looks like.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of weird.
That looks like you or me trying to do a layup.
That looked a little bit like, I mean, yeah, that looked weird. That was very, it didn't really look like, it looked more like a calf strain or, God forbid, an Achilles injury more so than it looked like a twisted ankle. But, all right, let's still say the Phoenix is going to pass. Again, let's hope Durant's okay. Nobody's wishing injury on any of these guys or the situations that we already described. Phoenix is going to pass Memphis. I feel pretty confident about that. The other two teams, Golden State's in the 5, Minnesota's in the 6.
Golden State, Mike, Golden State's in the 5. And I know they're only like a half game out of 9 or 8. But they've lost 2 in a row and they're in the 5.
And they're still 5. They're not passing Memphis, I don't think.
What about Minnesota? No, you get Minnesota. No,
I don't have any confidence.
So you're saying the furthest Memphis falls is 4.
I think Memphis stays at 4.
Okay.
I think Memphis stays at 4.
Okay, look, just looking at the West, Mike.
Okay.
So we agree Denver, Sacramento. Denver is going to be the 1 seed. There's no doubt.
Denver will be the 1 seed.
Okay. Sacramento is now the 2 seed. Will they stay there or will Phoenix pass them? Or does it depend on Durant?
Well, I mean, if Durant's out, Phoenix, I don't think, passes them. Sacramento, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say Sacramento stays at 2. They got a 2-game lead right now. Durant's out. I think they hold 2. At worst, they're going to fall to 3. At worst.
They remind me a lot of the Atlanta Hawks, Mike.
There's something to be said for that.
Atlanta Hawks in the LeBron era when they won all those games. And then
not a lot of defense for Sacramento. They can outscore people. They have a really good offense. And Fox and Sabonis are really dynamic offensive players. I think it's just interesting when you start looking at the Western Conference and you start to say you can talk yourself into and you can talk yourself out of just about any of these teams at any moment. But I don't think anybody thinks Sacramento can win the title, right?
No.
I don't think – does anybody think at this point – nobody can think Memphis can really win the title, right?
No, especially if Ja's not coming back.
All right, so that's your second and third seeds. For a number one seed, I would say there's significant doubt about Denver. just when you listen to different podcasts and read things, I think there's some skepticism around the Nuggets. Golden State is not winning it. I'm telling you, no, they're not. They're not. They're not. They're 7-25 on the road, man.
Mike. Okay, let me just throw this out to you.
All right.
Would you be flabbergasted if they make it to the Western Conference Finals?
Yes.
Okay.
I personally would be. Now, okay. Do they have a better chance of winning and making it to the NBA Finals than Sacramento and Memphis?
Let's just talk through this really quickly, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. Golden State remains in the 5 seed. Memphis is in the 4 seed. Golden State's beating Memphis, Mike.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Okay. Then
they play Denver.
Denver. Are you saying there's zero chance they beat Denver?
I'm
not saying there's zero chance, Mike. I'm not doing it.
There's zero chance. You're looking at Denver's 30-5 at home. You've got the altitude. You've got the Jokic skepticism. If Denver's healthy, there's no way Golden State's beating them. There just isn't. I don't see how you can possibly trust. At some point, it's the Bill Parcells, right? You are what your record says you are. They're 34-32. They're 7-25 on the road. Like, that is indicative that something is wrong. What that something is, we can speculate all we want. I still think that the Draymond punch with Jordan Poole, that you can't quantify it, but that had to have an effect on this team in a negative way. I don't know what the chemistry or what the relationships or whatever it is, but I can't believe that that is a truly harmonious locker room where 15 guys are all best buddies and hanging out. I don't buy that after one guy just punches a teammate and you see it on video. I know how good Steph and Clay and Draymond are, and I know what they've done in the game, but you just can't. At a certain point, yeah, that's meaningful, but the record is what it is. I can't see that team beating Denver. I just can't.
Okay.
Well, who can win the title in the West? Let's just go through it. Can Denver win the title? Can they win the NBA championship? Get to the West? Can they get to the NBA Finals?
Denver?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Sacramento?
No.
Memphis?
Probably not anymore.
No. Phoenix?
Yes.
Golden State?
I'm saying it, Mike.
Okay. You're going to say yes. Yes. You're going to say yes. I'm a no. Minnesota?
No.
Dallas?
No.
The Clippers?
No.
Yeah, there's a no. How can they start Russ? Come on, man. What are they doing?
Come on, do the next one, Mike.
The Lakers. Please, you're not going to say yes.
No, man.
No. You're going to say yes. You're insane.
No, I said no, Mike. I said no.
You wanted to say yes.
I did. I didn't want to say yes. I just wanted to say yes just to mess with you.
You really wanted to say yes. You were riding hard to say yes on that one. No, it can't happen.
And no one else in the West.
No?
Who?
Pelicans? Zion comes back?
Zion's out for 2 more weeks. Woj just tweeted it.
Well, it's okay. He can still come back.
He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Okay. The season's going to be over.
Thunder, they're going to bring back Chet. Dame's going to average 74 a game for the next 4 months.
No, Mike.
Markkanen?
No.
Okay, so we think that the Western Conference champion is coming from 3 teams, right? Denver, Phoenix, or the Warriors. Which, again, if the standings stood today, only one of those teams would be left after the second round because Golden State and Phoenix would play each other in the 4-5, and then the winner of that series would play the Nuggets. Talk about a gauntlet for those teams.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you're going to tank. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, I guess you might want the 4 seed, because you'd have home court advantage. But otherwise, man, you'd be tanking hard to get to the six.
Yeah, but all those teams are so close. I don't think you can tank hard for the six. All those teams that are like
because, right, because you could very easily suddenly be 10. But it'll be interesting to see if it gets to the point on the last day of the season, if what kind of maneuvering there potentially might be
Let's look at the games for the last day of the season. You know what the last day of the season is Easter. I think all the teams play. So let's look. I'm just going to look at Western Conference matchups. All the Western Conference games are at 3:30 p.m.
Okay.
Okay. So Dallas plays the Spurs.
All right.
That's a game of no consequence because Dallas will win that. Well, it could be consequence because
could be the Wembanyama sweepstakes.
Yeah. Okay. The next game, the Pelicans at Timberwolves. That could be an important game.
Yep.
You got the Grizzlies and the Thunder. That could be an important game. You've got the Nuggets Kings. That game is going to be all non-starters. Just get everyone out.
Okay? Sacramento, I guess, could be battling for a seed, but otherwise it'll be meaningless for Denver.
Meaningless for Denver. Okay. The next game, the Jazz and the Lakers. That could be a game of consequence. The game after that, we've got the Clippers and the Suns. Game of consequence, yep. Possibly. Yep. And then the last one is the Warriors Trailblazers. Game of consequence. That is a really good slate, Mike. That is a theoretical good slate.
Well, right now you have 13 out of the 15 teams that are still alive.
Yeah.
For the opportunity to make it into the play-in.
Yeah. The Eastern Conference, less exciting, Mike. I'll briefly go through it. Okay. The Hornets play the Cavs. Okay. The Hawks play the Celtics. That could be important for the Hawks. Theoretically, could be important for the Celtics, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. The 76ers and the Nets. That could be a big one. The Heat and the Magic. I don't think that one will be important. The Pacers and Knicks. I don't see that one being important. The Bucks, the Raptors, that one could be important, I guess, theoretically, for the Raptors. The Rockets play the Wizards.
Big game right there, man.
Yeah. And the Pistons play the Bulls. So the Eastern Conference game is not as exciting.
The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
All right, let's do the Eastern Conference. Who can win the title? The Bucks?
Yes.
The Celtics?
Yes.
Sixers?
I'm going to say yes. They're better than any of the other teams in the West other than the Nuggets.
Come on, man. No.
I'm saying yes.
That's a hard no. I'm tripling down on no. The Cavs?
I want to say yes, Mike, but I believe we're one piece away. I think we're one piece away from being a true contender. Now, if things break the right way, then maybe. We need Boston to pass Milwaukee. I like the matchup against Boston. Better than Milwaukee, that is. Or we have to pass Philly. Those are the two options. So I'm going to say no, Mike. I just don't see it. I want to believe, but I just don't.
It's a no. We're a year away and one more piece or series of pieces away. I think this team, I think at this point you look at this season as easy for me to say, as a success if you win your first round series and then you play somebody tough in the second round. I could see them beating somebody in the second round. I don't see them being able to get through two of the Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, which is what they're going to have to do.
But you just said Philly can't do it.
I don't think they can do it, but I'm just saying you could play – if the Cavs were to play Philly in the second round, I'm not saying the Cavs would lose to Philly necessarily. I think they could beat Philly. I'm just saying I don't see the Cavs beating Philly, Boston, or Milwaukee in the second round and then turning around and beating another one of those three teams in the Eastern Finals. I don't see that. I just don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. The Knicks, no. Brooklyn, no. Miami, no. There's no other teams in the East that can win it. So you basically have – you think the title is coming from five teams. The Bucks, Celtics.
No, I got six.
Six. Nuggets. I don't even know who else we said.
Warriors.
Denver, Phoenix.
And the Warriors.
So there's five teams. We think five teams can win it.
Oh, no.
I think four. You think five.
No, I think six.
Who's your other one?
Philly. I said Philly could win it.
So you got three. Oh, man.
I got three in each.
You're insane. I got four teams. I got four.
Okay, so those are the teams. Those are the teams that theoretically right now we think could win it. Are there the other teams on the outside looking in? Like, who would be your next? I mean, I know that you're discounting Philly and Golden State. Would they be ahead of anyone else on your list of people, or would you put anyone ahead of those teams?
Okay. Unequivocally, no chance whatsoever. I think most of the teams fall. Most of the teams we didn't mention as teams that can win it, I think the other ones unequivocally have 0% chance of winning it. So I think the team that you could say – I think in the West it's the Clippers as the maybe team. I think the Warriors, I guess, are a maybe team for me, that if everything broke right in terms of the bracket and health and chemistry and all these other factors, that I guess, but I still don't see it, but I guess I can see where Golden State and the Clippers to me are the only two teams that have the upside, if things go perfectly, to crack that Denver-Phoenix mix. I don't see any other teams having enough upside to be able to do that. And then in the Eastern Conference, I think I would put the Cavs, and really that's it. I don't think – I guess Miami maybe, just because of what they've done in the past.
Culture.
But I don't I think only the Cavs are in that category. And like I said, I think the Sixers might be better than the Cavs. The Sixers might beat the Cavs in the playoffs this year. But if you're telling me which team do I think has a better chance to make it to the NBA Finals, I would pick the Cavs over the Sixers.
Okay.
I can't trust. We've been over it a bazillion times. I don't trust Embiid to stay healthy, and I don't trust Harden in any way, shape, or form in any big moment. So when those are your two best guys, that's not something I want to sign up for.
Okay. All right, Mike. I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about, and you can tell me if there's anything else.
Okay.
Was MVP talk. I don't know if you've been paying attention to all the stuff that's been going on in First Take. I don't really want to dive into that. Have you been paying attention to that at all?
I saw the controversy between Redick and Perkins about the players that have won the MVP and not been in the top 10 in scoring, that they're all white. And Perk sort of indicated that had some type of racial overtones when it comes to the voting. I think what's interesting about just that discussion, about this MVP discussion in general, is when you look at the reasons why Jokic is the overwhelming favorite right now to win the MVP, it's all because of the analytics and the different numbers that just seem to support the fact that when he's on the floor, the Nuggets are really good. And when he's off the floor, the Nuggets are historically bad. And it's, I don't quite know how to approach that, because aesthetically, there are some things that Jokic does that are beautiful in terms of his passing and his ability to anticipate and just set guys up and put the ball in the right places. And if you're a basketball purist or you're somebody who loves the game, then you appreciate Jokic for his passing and all the things that he can do that are just on a genius level. And yet I would guess that the average fan tunes into a game that's not paying attention to the league all the time. And you watch Jokic and you're like, okay, I mean, whatever. He's not playing above the rim. He's not super fast. He doesn't look pretty in everything that he does. And the average person just doesn't appreciate passing and what that does for your team and this and that. So I think there's obviously this analytics case that is overwhelmingly in favor of Jokic, and yet I think people still look at him and say he doesn't fit the part. What I found interesting is, and I'm assuming that you're still kind of with your season going on, that you haven't been listening and reading maybe as much stuff as I have, but
my season is officially over, but
yeah,
I have not caught up.
You have not caught up. But so as you read, what's interesting is the fact that everything from an analytics standpoint points toward Jokic, and yet there's still this, I think, this backlash that he hasn't won in the playoffs, and he hasn't, but if you look at, like, statistically what he's produced in the playoffs, it's been right on par with what he's done in the regular season. And he's been great in the playoffs. And I know we talked on the podcast, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we talked about how we wanted to see if Jokic could do it in the playoffs and if he could carry a team. And then he just puts up huge numbers, the same numbers that he's putting up in the regular season. He's putting those numbers up in the playoffs. So it's not like he's a guy who is a regular season wonder and then come the playoffs, he just shrinks away and dies. So I'm not sure that narrative where people are like, well, he's got to prove himself in the playoffs. I mean, look, his teams haven't won, but he's individually produced at a super duper high level. It's the same thing like with Luka. Now you look at Luka's production in the playoffs as an individual, and I mean, it's off the charts. His team's performance, not so much. But you're a product of, at some point, you have to have the right guys around you and the right roster and be able to do things. And I think Jokic, he has that this year. Luka still doesn't.
Yeah, I agree.
Giannis could still win it. If the Bucks keep pulling away from the Celtics and they get close to 60 wins and they end up with the best record in the league, I think there's still a chance that Giannis could win it.
As Simmons said, there's still 25% of the season or 20% of the season left or something. Yeah. So we still got time. It's not locked and loaded yet.
Like, and I still think that narrative is out there of the guys who have won three in a row. Does Jokic belong in that category? And maybe there's just enough voter fatigue with Jokic that somebody changes their mind and decides they're going to vote for Giannis. I could see that happening, despite the fact that every advanced statistic tells you that Jokic is clearly the most valuable, at least offensive player in the league. And when you watch the guy play, you completely understand. I mean, his box scores are just insane.
Yeah.
8 of 12, 8 of 8. I mean, what the guy does on low volume shooting and setting his teammates up and making everybody better is as good as anything I've ever seen. So,
yeah.
It's going to be Jokic. It's going to be Jokic or Giannis. I think the ship has sailed on Embiid winning it.
Yeah, especially with how Harden's been playing.
Yeah, and there just isn't a narrative. There isn't a narrative around Embiid other than poor Joel Embiid. He's finished second a couple years in a row. Otherwise, there's not really a story behind it. So
I agree. All right, Mike. Anything else?
I think we hit on all the major stories. I don't think there's anything else out there that is leaping off the page at me.
A big Dayton. Going to Dayton this weekend, Mike. I'm going to Dayton this weekend.
Yeah, good for you. That'll be fun.
It'll be fun. For those of you that don't know, because you're not an Ohio person, but the Olmsted Falls girls team is in the Final Four of the states. I've had my hand in coaching all but like one girl on the team in one way, shape, or form. So it's pretty cool. And it's even cooler that another SWC school is also in the Final Four, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. That there's
doesn't happen very often. I'm sure. I don't know how often it does.
Midview's playing with house money because no one expected them to be here. So I'm happy for them. And obviously, you have a relationship with the coach's father, McNamara's daughter's the head coach there. So it's pretty cool.
So yeah. So and then Friday we got a lot of Division III guys that have been guests on the podcast that are still alive. We lost a couple in the first round or two, but I think we still have. There's still the potential, I believe, and I think we could get potentially three out of the four Final Four spots in Division III could potentially be filled by Hoopheads Pod. Yes, three out of the four teams in the Sweet 16 at Worcester are from our guests on the pod. So we got Rowan University with Joe Crispin. They're playing against Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and Matt Lewis. That's a Sweet 16 game. And then Edwin McGee from North Park, assistant there. He's also at Worcester. So there's three out of the four teams at Worcester are our Head Start, part of Hoopheads Nation. So it's kind of fun.
That's cool. Are you going to try to go down to the games? Or?
Well, so there's just a ton of good stuff to watch here in the state of Ohio over the next couple of days. So there's some high school stuff that's going on. Tomorrow, there's not the one high school game. I think Lutheran West, who Cal's teammates play and his coaches at Lutheran West, they play, but they play at Bowling Green at like 6 o'clock. So I don't think I'm making it out to that game. And then Friday night, there's a bunch of good high school games. And then also Kent, hopefully will still be alive. They play tomorrow. My alma mater plays in the MAC tournament. They play tomorrow at 4. They play Northern Illinois. And if they win, they'll play Friday night, I think at 7:30. So if they win, it could be a Kent Akron game, which could be fun, which I might think about going to on Friday night. Plus there'll be, like I said, some good high school games. And then that those Division III games in Worcester are Friday. But the first one, like I'd like to see Rowan play Oshkosh, but that game's at 4 o'clock in Worcester, so I'm not going to be able to make it to that one. But Saturday, potentially, you could have two Hoopheads coaching staffs matching up on Saturday down at Worcester. There's clearly going to be one because Oshkosh plays Rowan. So who knows? Maybe I'll go down there on Saturday, or maybe I'll go and see a high school game. So my plan is maybe to go see a game Friday and Saturday, but I have no idea if I'm going to a college game, if I'm going to a high school game. Am I going to a Division I MAC game to see Ken? Am I going to a Division III tournament game? I don't know where I'm going to end up being, but there's a lot of good basketball to be had here in the Cleveland area in the next plus. And then you're going to Dayton to watch the Olmsted Falls girls, as you said. So
yeah,
there's a lot of good basketball out there to go see here in Ohio.
And we could probably have one of those. Hopefully, Olmsted Falls wins. Obviously, that's where I work, so we could get Jordan on the pod after they win it. That'd be great.
That'd
him
be cool.
Or
that'd be awesome.
And if Midview somehow pulls it out, then
yep.
I'm sure you could get McNamara on. So
for sure, that'd be
pretty cool. So
yep.
All right, I think that's where we leave it, Mike.
Sounds like a plan. I don't think we have anything else to touch on. We hit on all the big stories, so. We are a day late, but we are here, and we got our NBA episode out, so thank you. It's my birthday. Exciting day. We appreciate all of you out there that are part of Hoopheads Nation that are listening, and we're thankful that you're along for the ride with us. So thanks for listening to this episode. We appreciate it, and we will catch you on the next one. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.